Well, all right, Proverbs chapter 23, and let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here this morning, and thank you for those who have come, and I pray, Lord, to work in our hearts. And Lord, you know every heart here. If there should be somebody here not saved, help that one to acknowledge that fact and to receive Christ as Savior, and to help us who are saved to receive thy words. Help me to present them. Lord, help us to see the importance of the message today as it regards our families, and to take steps to safeguard that which thou hast given to us in our families. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs chapter 23. Last week I preached a message entitled, Don't Be Duped by Dope. And sadly, dope has entered into some families, and it needs to be gotten out of the families. But there's another drug that has horribly affected families, and that is the drug of choice among many people, which is booze. And for instance, 15 years ago, John Broderick Jr. attacked his father, New Hampshire Supreme Court Justice John Broderick Sr., and the father was asleep. And the son beat him so severely that some could not recognize the father. The son was so intoxicated, the police took him to a hospital for observation, and Assistant Attorney General Delker at that time said it was one of the most severe attacks our office has seen. And so here was an attack that came into a family where booze was involved. Now, the world speaks of people like this as alcoholics and says that what they have is alcoholism, as if it were a disease, and the people who afflicted by this are sick. But the Bible never uses these words, alcoholics or alcoholism, because it's not a disease, but rather it is a sin. Isaiah 28 verse 1 says, woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim. Jesus said, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, that would be with partying and rioting, with surfeiting and drunkenness, Luke 21:34. Romans 13:13 says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness. And so in light of this, my message today is a booze will make you lose. Booze will make you lose. And how will booze make you lose? Well, Proverbs 23 presents at least three ways in which booze will make you lose. First, booze will make you lose financially. Look at Proverbs 23 and verse 21, the first part, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. The word poverty here means to be dispossessed, to be impoverished. Joseph in Genesis 45 verse 11 used this word to refer to the poverty that could come from the famine that existed there in that part of the world at that time. Now, think of a famine. A famine eats away what you have, all your reserves. It eats it up, destroys them. And likewise, booze consumes what a person has. It consumes his money. It consumes his health. And if allowed, it will consume his soul. Now, perhaps you remember the account of the prodigal son who wasted his substance on riotous living so that he ended up in the pig pen, Luke 15, 11 through 17. Riotous living would include boozing, and so booze will make you lose financially. When I lived in Enfield, the police chief wrote an article in the local newspaper, and he pointed out that a person who gets pulled over for DWI, I guess they call it now DUI, but gets pulled over for driving under the influence or while intoxicated, whichever way you want to put it, faces towing charges, a bail commissioner fee, lawyer's fees, a fine, alcohol education course fee, a three-year insurance surcharge, and loss of time at work, which he estimated in 1991 to be $7,265. Now, if we account for inflation, I would think that here in the year 2017, that would be probably more like $12,000. Now, I'm sure that you have $12,000 in your wallet right now, right? No, I didn't think so. Okay? You can't afford $12,000. I mean, that's outrageous. And so booze will make you lose financially. W.C. Fields, a comedian of long ago, consumed $200,000 worth of hard liquor in 40 years. And how did he get started? He started with beer, and he wound up an addict of the so-called dry martini. You know, many people think beer is, beer is pretty low level. No, this guy started with beer and he worked his way up. A beer is not harmless. And though he was a famous comedian, W.C. Fields, he ended up dying in a sanitarium in 1946. Now, that $200,000, that was $200,000 back then. By today's standards, accounting for inflation, I think it's equivalent to at least $1.6 million. What a waste in money and what a waste of a life. Booze will make you lose financially. Now, let's say you never get pulled over, have to pay the $12,000 fine. Let's say you never shell out $1.6 million for booze, yet it will still make you lose financially. You know, a six-pack of beer is about $7, and it is an absolute waste of your money. Here's some prices from the New Hampshire State Liquor Store that I got online. Captain Morgan Spiced Rum, 1.75 liters, $22.99. You know, for that amount of money, you could buy 10 gallons of milk. Far better for you than booze. Chardonnay, 750 milliliters, $21.99. Jack Daniel's Number 7 Black, 1.75 liters, $38.99. That amount of money could buy over 500 gospel tracts, which could do eternal benefit rather than just being wasted. Grey Goose Vodka, 750 milliliters, $29.99. You know, for that amount of money, most of us could fill our gas tanks. You know, that's a lot of money. And what is it for? It doesn't put food on the table. It doesn't fill your gas tank. It doesn't help in the Lord's work. It is a waste. It is draining you. Booze will make you lose financially. Now, many drinkers spend between $2,000 to $3,000 a year on booze. You know, that's enough to send a child to the Christian school. But what does the boozer have to show for it? Most likely, what he has to show are further expenses, such as lost wages, the need of medications, accidents caused while under the influence, and more. It is a waste. No wonder people call it getting wasted. Booze will make you lose. Now, perhaps you don't spend $2,000 to $3,000 a year on it. But you know what? No matter how much you spend on it, every penny you do spend on it is a waste. It is money that could have gone to the Lord's work. Money that could have helped to pay bills, provide for your children, help others, and more. And should you then take money that God has given you and waste it? You know, the money you have because God allows it. And if you're spending it on booze, you're spending it on that which God condemns. When the children of Israel in the time of Haggai were misusing their money, and God judged them for it. Their crops didn't come in, and they had, as it were, putting their money into bags with holes. You know, their money wasn't going as far. And God judged them. You can read about Haggai chapter 1. And so God catches up to those who misuse what he's given them. Booze will make you lose financially. But then secondly, booze will make you lose physically. Look at Proverbs 23 and verse 29. Proverbs 23 and verse 29. Who hath woe? Who has sorrow? Who hath contentions without a cause? who hath a redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. You know, it says here that these abusers, they have wounds without cause. Wounds without cause. In other words, there's no good reason for why they should have these wounds. No good reason. You see, they chose to drink. They didn't have to choose to drink, but they chose to drink. And now they have these wounds. Think of some of these words that verse 29 uses. Woe refers to despair, as when one says, woe is me. It is a word God uses of those whom he curses. For example, in Isaiah 3 and verse 11, God says, woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. That's not something you want God to say to you. Woe unto you. Sorrow is a word that refers to an exclamation or cry of pain. The word contentions refers to fighting. Look at verse 35. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. So, you know, he mentions this fight that he's been in. There's these contentions. There are wounds. The word wounds here in verse 29 is the same word that Isaiah 1 and verse 6 uses, where God says of Israel, from the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. You see, booze will make you lose physically. Look at verse 32. At the last, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Now, an adder is a poisonous snake, and booze is also a poison. And so this is a very apt comparison. Booze is a poison that packs a horrible punch. You know what? You'd be better off being bit by a poisonous snake than to have a booze come into your life. Listen to these statements and accounts. Booze will make you lose physically, for booze is indisputably involved in a whole host of diseases. Cirrhosis of the liver, cancer of the mouth, as well as other cancers, malnutrition, resistance to disease, and most boozers live 10 to 12 years less than non-boozers. In light of this, it is surprising that athletes promote boozing in beer commercials. Do you think that they are in the locker room drinking a six-pack right before game time? But yet they promote the drinking of Bud Light or Budweiser or Miller High Life, and on it goes. If you're at all concerned about your health, stay away from booze. Don't touch the stuff, because booze will make you lose physically. Research indicates that every time a person drinks, he loses irreplaceable brain cells. Do you know something? The alcohol, it's ethyl alcohol that's in booze. It's water soluble. So the moment you drink it, it goes right into your body. It goes right into your gums. It's absorbed by your tongue, even before it gets down into your stomach. It then works its way up into your brain, and it surrounds the brain. And the more you drink, the more it affects the brain. In fact, autopsies performed on confirmed drunks often reveal hollow cavities in the skull where entire convolutions of the brain have disappeared. And yet people think that it's so smart to drink. No, it's not smart. It's stupid. Look at Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 1. It says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Booze mocks you. Booze laughs at you. Booze pokes fun at you. Booze shows you to be a fool. Booze will make you lose. Booze is involved in one-third of all suicides. In fact, after I finished preaching this message in Plymouth, Mrs. Blanchett came up to me, and she said that on Mother's Day, Norm Blanchett's, so she had been married to Norm Blanchett, who's now with the Lord in heaven. But Norm Blanchett had a relative who committed suicide on Mother's Day. He was a drunk, and it seems that booze was involved. One third of all suicides, booze is involved. One half of all traffic fatalities, booze is involved. And one fourth of all other types of accidental death, booze has a part. In fact, a booze-related car crash kills someone every 22 minutes. Every minute, an alcohol-related crash causes disabling injuries. Booze will make you lose physically. Booze is the third leading cause of birth defects. Do you see it? Did you hear that? Third leading cause of birth defects. And so, if you were at all concerned about having healthy children, do not marry a girl who drinks. Do not marry a girl who thinks it's okay to drink, because she may take up drinking. And that's passed on to your kids. And they are disabled for life. By the way, girls, don't marry a guy who thinks it's okay to drink, because booze is also a major factor in child abuse and domestic violence, as I will point out in this message in just a bit, Lord willing. All the stories about the harm that booze brings into a person's life, stories of crippled children, a story of a man who sold his baby's bottle so he could buy booze, a story of a man who took a hot fire poker while drunk and poked his baby to death, thinking that he was playing with him, a story of a man whose wife drank, consequently she neglected the children, so the husband came home, took the lives of both his children, and then committed suicide. When the mother came home, she found this note, quote, "I gave the children their choice, and they said they would rather go with me than to stay with you. I hope you see their faces in every glass of beer you drink," unquote. All booze will make you lose. Let me give you some article headlines, and you can find these, and you're probably going to find them. You're probably going to find some of these kind of headlines, particularly with this being Memorial Day weekend and the start, the unofficial start of summer, and kids getting out of school and having more time, and the parties that are going to happen around graduation time and these things. You're probably going to hear headlines like this: teen charged with DWI after West Swansea crash, teen charged with DWI in fatality, liquor believed factor in Maine canoe fatality, three deaths silence Kennett High, police say this, alcohol a factor in the crash, New York subway operator charged in fatal crash. The article states that he had a blood alcohol level of 0.21%. You see, booze will make you lose financially, booze will make you lose physically, and thirdly, and most tragic of all, is that booze will make you lose spiritually. Look at verse 33 here of Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23 and verse 33. And it says this, "Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things." You see, the guy who's boozing, his mouth utters perverse things. It loosens his tongue. He loses the restraint on his tongue. And what he normally would not say, he now says. And it's perverse. And then he loses his moral restraint so that he starts looking at other women. And so here's another reason why booze should not find its way in anybody who wants to have a good home. Because once you start boozing, you have eyes for somebody other than your spouse. Over there in Enfield, when we were starting a church there, we met a guy who lived in Lebanon. And, you know, he was interested, and we brought him to church. We'd pick him up, and he prayed a prayer. You know, he prayed a prayer, but it became evident that he really was not saved, because his life did not change. And he just faded away and, you know, went off into his sin. What was his sin? He was involved in drugs. He was involved in booze. I pointed out to him, I said, "Look, Jeff, every time you drink, you are opening yourself up to having eyes for other women." He then said, "How did you know that?" You know how I knew that? because of what the Bible says here, Proverbs 23:33. But he was amazed. I, a preacher, would know that. Well, the Bible told me that. And he admitted the truth of that. And he admitted it wasn't good for his family. He was married, had a little baby. It wasn't good. You know what? If you value marriage, be far from booze. Do not let a drop of it in your home. Booze will make you lose spiritually. You know, it's no secret that if a guy wants to fornicate with a girl, that he'll pump a few drinks into her. And you know, if he can get her to consume a few drinks, that loosens her up. And then she's far easier to seduce and rape than she would be if she were sober. Booze will make you lose spiritually. You might lose your purity. You might lose your family. Look at verse 35. It says, they have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? Notice the last words. I will seek it yet again. Here is a boozer. He's been beaten up the night before because of his booze. Wounds without cause, sorrow and woe and contentions. And he's got all this stuff. And what does he do? Do you think he smartens up? Do you think he says, you know what? I've learned my lesson. This is no good for me. No. He says, I'm in for more, man. I'm going for more. I'll tell you what, that shows you what a grip booze gets on a person. It is an addictive sin. Oh, you may think, I'll just take one drink just to see what it's like, and that's it. No, booze can get a hook in your life just like any other sin, but particularly booze, as we see here. And I tell you what, you will probably not stop at just one drink. A girl named Eloise gave her testimony about booze, saying, I had my first drink when I was 12. My sister was looking after me, and she gave me a bottle of beer to keep me quiet. By the time I was 15, I had to have a drink just to get through school. How did she get started with beer? Started with the first drink of beer. And from there, she was entangled. I had a friend. We went to Tilton School together. We're in the same class, same grade. You know the funny thing about that friend, he was also Polish. You know how hard it is to find other Polish people? There's a lot of Polish people who won't admit they're Polish. You know? But there's a few who'll say, yeah, I'm Polish, you know? And he was one, you know? He told me he was Polish. So we had, a friendship there, and 16 years old, he told me this. 16 years old, he said, Chet, I am a drunk. I think he started drinking when he was 8 or 9. At 16, I'm a drunk. Wow. What a horrible thing. What a horrible thing. Now notice that this girl, Eloise, she thought she needed a drink to get through school. And that is the deception of booze. Come on, take a drink. It will help you to cope with life. It will help you relieve the stress in your life. No, it won't. It will bring more problems into your life. That's what sin does. It sucks you in and then sucks you out. Look, if you're saved, you don't need booze to help you to get through life. You have Jesus. You have Jesus. And what a slap in the face of Jesus to be dependent on a bottle when the Lord Jesus Christ gives you everything you need to live a life pleasing to Him. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Philippians 4:13. You don't need a bottle to get through life. You need Jesus. You have everything you need in Jesus. Cannot you see the tears in his eyes with every drink that you take? as you deny that his grace is sufficient for you. It breaks his heart. Booze will make you lose spiritually. Now, if you happen to be saved, the Bible says something about drunkards and those who say they're saved. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 11, if any man that is called a brother, that people say is saved, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or a covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such a one know not to eat. You know, the Bible commands that if there be a man called a brother who is a drunk, we are to put him out of the church and not to have company with him. That affects you spiritually. Now, maybe there's a person and he drinks, but he's not a drunk, and yet he says he's saved. You know what? If that's your case, you ought to repent of that. But if you won't, because of what the Bible says, and because the Bible's so clear on this, if you are a drinker, we cannot have you serve in this local church. We can't have that. Now, you get it right, then you can serve. God is against this. Booze will make you lose spiritually. But you know what? The worst thing of all, the worst way of all in which booze makes you lose spiritually is this. Booze is the devil's grease that lubricates the pole that goes straight down an hell. Booze will send you to hell quicker than almost anything else. Here's what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 10 teaches that drunkards shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians 5:21 teaches that those who are engaged in drunkenness shall also not inherit the kingdom of God. So the message of the Bible is clear. Drunks go to hell. Booze will make you lose. It will make you the ultimate loser, losing your soul. Booze will make you lose financially, physically, and spiritually. And so what are you to do? What are you to do? Well, let me give you some things. First, if you're not saved, get saved. See your drinking as a sin, not as a disease. It is a sin. A sin for which Jesus died. A sin from which Jesus can save you and give you a wonderful new life free from booze. You see, it is a sin that is trying to take you to hell. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Now, that's not the only sin that's in your life. If you're a drinker, that's not the only sin that's in your life, but it's a big sin. And that sin and all your other sins are trying to take you to hell, to death. The wages of sin is death. That death not only involves physical death, but ultimately includes the second death, where a person is cast into the lake of fire, Revelation 20, 14 and 15. But thank God, Jesus died for your sins. And he was buried. And he rose again. And he's able to save you from those sins. Now, AA cannot save you. A detox program cannot save you. It's Jesus who saves. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He is the only one who can save you. And so may you go to Jesus. You must go to Jesus and call out to him and ask him to save your lost, filthy, wretched, hell-bound soul. And you know, if you do that, ask him to save you, he'll save you. All by his grace. So first, if you're not saved, get saved. Second, look not thou upon booze. Look at Proverbs 23, verse 31. Proverbs 23, verse 31. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. Now, in that day, they had grapes. They would squeeze the grapes. And when you squeeze the grapes, you get grape juice. And then if you let that grape juice sit around a while, it ferments. And when it ferments, it undergoes a chemical reaction, and that's indicated by a change in color. It becomes red, and it's bubbly. So there's two indications here that now this has alcoholic content, and at that point, don't desire it. This idea, look not thou upon. The word look upon, that expression, is something that Judges 14, verse 1 uses, and 2 Samuel 11, verse 2, of both Samson and David, who lusted after two different women. And so this idea of looking upon means to lust after it, to desire it, to want it. And the Lord says, do not desire it. Do not want it. Don't go after it. God says, look not thou upon the wine. So, if somebody invites you to a party where booze is present, don't go. You know what? It may be the place where you work, and the office, or the business, or the company, and they got a company party, and you know what? It's at Christmas, or maybe it's in the summer, or maybe it's some other time, you know, the anniversary of the company, whatever it is, you know, the boss's birthday, whatever it is. And they're going to have a party. And there's going to be a bar there. And they're going to have booze there. You know what? Don't go. But if I don't go, I might lose my job. You know what? There's worse things to lose than your job. How about your family? How about your marriage? How about your children? How about your testimony? And so you do what's right, and you say this, I'm not going. And if I lose my job, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and trust that He'll add all these things unto me. Matthew 6:33. You know what? This time of the year, there's a lot of parties. This weekend, Memorial Day weekend, is the unofficial start of summer. Summer really doesn't start until, what, June 20th, June 21st? But, you know, people like to get a head start. And they have these parties, barbecue and beer, you know? For some, it's mostly the beer. And parties, summer parties. And then there's graduations, high school graduations, college graduations. And, you know, it's something. You think these graduates would have learned a few things. But what do? They graduate, and then there's a graduation party, and at the graduation party, they got booze there. Even high schoolers smuggling the booze. You know, about 43 years ago, my sister was going to become my sister's brother-in-law, okay? But he didn't live long enough to become my sister's brother-in-law. Because he and a couple of his buddies, right around this time of year, they were 16 years old, they got into booze. And they were celebrating end of the year, graduation, and all. They weren't graduating, but, you know, they use that as an excuse. And, you know, end of the school year. And they're driving in their Jeep. I think it was Jeep. They're driving in their Jeep. They're going up Winter Street. And you know, there's Winter Street. There's some corners on Winter Street. And they're going up Winter Street. And they're going too fast for one of the corners. And they go right off the corner, right into a telephone pole. And the boy who would have become my sister's brother-in-law got killed. Right here in Tilton. Not a smart thing to have a graduation party with booze. A real dumb thing. And then another dumb thing. People have weddings. And then there's a wedding reception. And at the wedding reception, hey, bring out the booze. So here they just said, I do, and they make these promises, and then they have a party, and they are engaging in something that is now trying to tear apart what they just did. The devil's already got a foot in the door to destroy that marriage on day, not even day one, as it were, just an hour after the wedding ceremony. Wow. You know, you get invited to these kind of things, don't go. Don't go. Because booze will make you lose. These outdoor parties, barbecues, graduation parties, wedding receptions. And so look not thou upon the booze. A third thing to do, never take a job where you must serve booze. Habakkuk 2:15 says, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink. You have to handle that stuff. You're handling the devil's poison. You have to check it out at the cash register. You're handling the devil's poison. You have to stock it on the shelves. You're helping Satan to sell poison. You have to serve it in a restaurant. You're helping people to go to hell. Look, McDonald's is always hiring. And it's far more honorable to work at McDonald's than to be involved in the liquor trade. In any shape, form, or fashion. You know, some years back, the Christian school could not rehire me. They didn't have enough money. What else is new? All right? So, they let me go. And I had to get a job to replace the income. I went all over the place. I ended up working at Friendly's as a waiter. And as I'm working there at Friendly's, there's these guys that come in a restaurant. And I'm waiting on them. And they say, wow, you're doing a good job here. You know what? You could make a whole lot more money if you worked over at this place, like Jesse's Steakhouse or someplace like that. And I said, you know what? I don't want to work at Jesse's Steakhouse. I'd have to serve booze. Yeah, I had to wear the little uniform, you know. Had the striped shirt, said Friendly's on it, name tag. And this apron, you know, I had this apron I had to wear, you know. And, you know, but at least I had a testimony for Jesus. And I did that for 1 year, and then a Christian school would hire me back. And eventually they made me the principal. How about that? I worked my way up. Okay. Don't you take a job. We got to serve booze. And then a fourth thing. Don't defend booze. Don't defend it. You know, I imagine there's some people who would say about a message like this, I can't believe that pastor. I can't believe that priest. Why? He really went over the board today. He shouldn't be preaching like that. I'll tell you what. This kind of preaching is the kind of preaching that the old-time evangelists did every week in towns across this United States. Everywhere they did it. And it's sad that preachers have stopped doing it. We need preachers to preach this. You know, some quote-unquote Christian boozers gave me a book. These were people who drank. They came to, they visited the church in Enfield. And I happened to have mentioned something against booze. I didn't know that they were boozers. And so the man, the husband, he then had a mission in his life to try to convince me that booze was okay, that social drinking was okay. And one of the things he did one time was to get this book. And he found this book. And it was a book by Charles Swindoll. Have you heard of Charles Swindoll? He's a radio preacher. He's written a lot of books. But he's a big-time compromiser. And Charles Swindoll wrote a book called The Grace Awakening. And he wrote in this book, quote, I read this past week about a pastor's conference where a group of German Lutherans had gathered. Part of their reception included serving beer. No one thought anything of it because in that culture, a mug of beer is absolutely accepted. But if one of the men lit up a cigar, the place would go up in smoke. Strange, isn't it? They shouldn't smoke, but if they choose to enjoy a swig of beer, no problem, unquote. Now, that statement is in a chapter entitled The Grace to Let Others Be. And this book was given to me by quote-unquote Christian boozers trying to use this book to convince me that I should back off on being against social drinking. And so there's Charles Swindoll, Chuck Swindoll, big-time TV speaker, a radio speaker, big-time author. And there's a lot of people who will swallow this nonsense. Well, Chuck Swindoll says this. I'll tell you what. You ought to get what you believe from the Word of God. And if a big name, a radio preacher, or a big name, a Christian author, says something contrary to the Word of God, you still go with the Bible. And the Bible says, look not thou upon the wine. Some say, oh, but Jesus turned the water into wine. You know what he did? John chapter 2. But do you seriously think for 1 minute that the holy, spotless Son of God provided something upon which people could have gotten drunk? Do you think that the holy, spotless Son of God was a distiller and a bartender? That is just blasphemous. Now, the fact is, the Bible uses the word wine of both alcoholic wine and what we today call grape juice. Here in Proverbs 23, it's clear it's alcoholic wine. Look over at Proverbs chapter 3, and I'll show you where it uses it of what we today call grape juice. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 9. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 9, you might do well to mark this. Proverbs 3 and verse 9, honor the Lord with the first with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. You know, when you squeeze the grapes and the juice comes out, that's grape juice. Yet the Bible calls it wine. And I believe that's what Jesus made, this wonderful tasting grape juice. They could not have gotten drunk on it. He was not doing something upon which God pronounces a woe. He was not party to something that sends men to hell. So for a person to use Jesus as an excuse for drinking is downright devilish. Look at Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. The Bible pronounces a woe on such people who do this kind of thing. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Chapter 5 verse 21 of Isaiah now, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own eyes. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Woe unto a person like this. Well, you know, some people will say, but Paul told Timothy, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities, 1 Timothy 5:23. You know, I wonder of all the people who use that verse to excuse their drinking, it says a little wine. Would three glasses per day be a little? I don't think so. But yet, that seems to be what some people do. And, you know, they go to excess. But this word wine here, you know, booze causes infirmities. It doesn't heal them. In fact, here's some men who wrote around that same time as when Paul and Timothy were around. Pliny, Columella, Philo, and others state that many of the wines of their day produced headaches, dropsy, madness, and stomach complaints. That comes from a book, Bible Wines or the Laws of Fermentation. The same writers who lived around the time of Paul said that wines destitute of all strength were exceedingly wholesome and useful to the body. In other words, non-alcoholic wines, they were useful to the body. And that is the kind that Paul was recommending to Timothy. And even at that, he said, just a little. Now, some will point to articles that speak of the benefits of a drink a day. You know, to hear some people or to read some people, a drink a day keeps the doctor away now. It used to be an apple a day keeps the doctor away. So now a drink has replaced the apple. But don't you believe it? Because God says, look not thou upon the wine. And the Bible says this in Proverbs 3, 5 through 8, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. If you do this, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. So, if you want health, listen to God, not to the doctors or anybody else who says a drink a day is good for your health. You listen to God. You do what God says, and it will be health to your body. And God says, look not thou upon the wine. Booze will make you lose. How do I know? I know it will make you lose financially. It's a waste of money. Booze will make you lose physically. It brings disease and robs you of life. And booze will make you lose spiritually. It seeks to ruin your testimony and send you to hell. Booze will make you lose. So instead of going to beer, wine, or liquor, go to Jesus. Jesus said, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up in everlasting life. John 4 and verse 14. Don't go to the bottle, but go to Jesus. He can give you something far better than the bottle. And if you're not saved, come to Jesus. Receive him as your Savior. Jesus can make drunks sober. He can dry out the drunk and give them a new life. And in this church and other churches, there are testimonies of men and maybe some women who got saved and the Lord dried them out. What a wonderful thing the Lord can do. If you're saved, repent of this. Get rid of the booze and the money that you're spending on that booze. Why don't you give it to the Lord's work instead? Stop working at a place where they have you serving booze or dealing with booze. Pour, if you have booze at home, get rid of it. Pour it down the drain. You know what Pastor Anderson's dad used to do with the booze? Pastor Anderson's dad worked for a company, and it was some sort of company that he had to deal with the imports. I think it was something with fruits and vegetables, I believe. And there'd be a lot of these guys that he worked with who would, at Christmas time, a typical thing even today, where you'd get a fifth of liquor for the Christmas gift. And Pastor Anderson's dad, a saved man, he would take all those liquor bottles and he'd bring them out, and Pastor Anderson, just a boy, they'd go out to the weeds, the thorns, the pucker brush, and they would empty those booze bottles, contents, right on the weeds. I don't know if it killed the weeds. Pretty expensive weed killer. But that's what they did. Get rid of it. Don't let a drop of it into your house. Get rid of it. And replace the booze with the pure water of the Word of God. Now, if your family knows that you are a drinker, you need to tell them of your decision. And if you have been drinking at the company party or other places in public. You need to come forward and make a public decision and come clean. Where we can point to and say, yes, that person used to do that, but he or she came forward and got it right and put it behind them. You need to break with this. Get it out of your life. And if you drink with a friend, break off that friendship unless that person repents. This is so important for your family. I finish with this. I read an account, a true story. There was this man, a prominent man in the town. He was a judge. And this judge, he had a little girl. And one day he was outside and he noticed this other little girl walking on crutches, crippled, walking on crutches. And it made him think of his own little girl and how devastated he would be if his own little girl were crippled and confined to crutches. And so he was curious as to how this happened to that girl. And so he got her attention and found out her name. Her name was Kate. And then asked her, how is it that you came to be crippled? Kate, who at this time is 10 years old, she told this man, this judge, she said, a year ago when I was 9, my daddy came home. He had been drinking. And he took his cane and he struck me across both legs. And he broke both of them. And that's how I became a crippled. My dad was so broken up by it that he said the worst thing that could happen to him, the worst punishment that could happen to him would be is to see his daughter crippled. And my dad, she said, he tried to give it up, but he didn't. And then a little while later, I don't know, months or something, he died in his bed. You know, that judge was so moved by that because he's thinking of his own little girl, but there was something else also going on. That judge said goodbye to the girl, Kate, and he went into his study and he closed the door. Got alone with God. He was a man who had made a profession of faith. He had told his mother, some years ago, and he had told his mother, I will never touch a drop of booze. But he broke his promise. He got involved in social drinking. And in fact, he was involved with some of the other prominent men in the community. And they met every so often. And one of the men would give a little speech, and after the speech, they would gather together around some drinks. And that night, he was to speak at this gathering. But in his office, he made a decision. He repented before the Lord that he was wrong to have ever touched a drop of this. He asked Jesus to forgive him. And he made a decision, I'm never going to touch another drop of it. And then he went to that meeting. He went to that meeting and he told those men about this girl, Kate. He told those men how booze had changed her dad into a murderous demon. And how that he was so moved by it that he decided that if booze could do that to a loving father, then he determined before God that he would not have anything more to do with something that could do that to a loving father and strike his own child and make her a cripple the rest of her life. And he gave him that account. And every one of those men also made the same decision, that they were not ever going to touch any more booze thereafter. Would you make the decision too? Would you say, it's out of my life? Let's pray. Our heads bowed, our eyes closed. We have our prayer and invitation time. Has the Lord spoken to you today? First, do you know for sure you're saved? Do you know that you're saved? Do you know it for sure? Only Jesus saves. It's not Mary, it's not a baptism, it's not a church. Jesus and Jesus only saves. And so in a moment when we go to the Lord in prayer, would you go to the Lord and say, "Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm headed for hell. I know that only you can save me. And dear Jesus, I know that you died for me. You were buried and you rose again. And I want you to save me. I'm putting all my faith and trust in you. Please save me." You know, if you pray that, mean it, believe it, the Lord will save you today. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, maybe you say, "You know what, Pastor? I don't have a problem with drinking." Well, maybe not. But if you're not saved, you still need to get saved. You're not saved because you're a good person. You're not saved because you have a church. No, the only way you're saved is through Jesus. Now, if you are saved, have you gotten involved with drink? Would you repent of it? Oh, it is so deceitful. Come on, you need to relax. Come on, this will help you to cope with life. And before you know it, you've not just taken one drink, you've taken two, three, four, or more. And maybe nobody would call you legally drunk, yet you're a little tipsy. It's affecting you. And you like the feeling. And you want it again. Would you repent? And maybe you need to make a decision where you come forward because other people know of your sin. And I'll give you that opportunity in just a moment, Lord willing. Would you repent? Get it out of your life? Maybe you need to say to your family, "Forgive me. Go home. Throw out that six-pack of beer that's in the refrigerator. Get rid of that case of beer that's in the shed or in the basement, wherever you keep it. Get rid of the wine, the whiskey, whatever it is, get rid of it." Would you make a decision? As we pray silently, may the Lord help you to do that which would most please Him. Let's pray.